Welcome to the Museum of Mysteries Archival Audio Records. What you are about to hear is the voice recordings of Dr. Indigo Hale, donated to the museum with generous support by Opal Hale and Seraphim Feldman Rodriguez, as well as generously underwritten by the Lavender Lemonade Collective. If you missed the previous segment, please go back and listen to it. This week's segment is called Avoiding Sentimentality.
My name is Dr. Indigo Pigeon Hale. I am very tired. I just woke up. Again, trapped on an island, not actually trapped, but I don't know where I am. I just followed the readings to find the star shell. Today, my order of operations is I'm going to read through my research on the star shell and give Star Shell 101 to the recorder. Then I'm going to explore the island. I have only had one granola bar for breakfast and the last of my fresh water. I'm going to see if I can find a fresh water source, and if I can't, I'm going to try and figure out this filtered water bottle Pim gave me. It looks insanely complicated, and up to now, I had only fresh water, not to deal with it. Back to my nightmare. So, after I had my fill of stars, I fell asleep. I had, of course, set my phone on the boat to charge and went to the camp. It was cold, and I was cuddled up tightly under Opal's blanket. You know when you don't remember everything about a dream, but you remember a snapshot? And the feelings? I remember the dread. This unshakable dread, because I knew something was missing. And I remembered these sharp little pinches, and I had lost something. I don't remember what I lost, but I woke up and I had the dread and the loss bunched up in my stomach, and for a moment, I thought I'd be sick. Then, of course, the moment passed, and I turned over to tell Opal I was scared. And then that moment passed. There is a longing in me for something. Anything that I know. I think that's one of the reasons I keep eating my granola bars. I'm down to 7, and I want to make them last, but it's the weird almond butter ones that Pim buys. They don't even taste good, but they're always in my house. So it's easier to eat a granola bar I don't really care about than try and understand how to cook a coconut. I'm hoping I can find food that I am familiar with preparing, because I have never eaten coconut outside from flake or water form. I'm sure it's tasty, but it is unfamiliar, and at this junction, I miss familiarity. Okay, so let's begin to synthesize my notes. I've grabbed my star shell collection, which is full of papers, essays, drawings, etc., off of the boat. I am probably going to do this in the sand because it's not the heat of the day yet, and I'd rather like the sand. This bottle too. I'm on the beach, probably about 10-ish yards from where I was watching the stars. I'm going to set down a towel first, that I also grabbed off the back of the boat. The sand on my backside was unshakable last night. Oh, hello! Are you the same friend from yesterday? I honestly can't tell. This crab sort of has a bluish shell. It's still the sandstone color that hermit crab shells tend to be, but the veins look blue. It's very pretty. Well, if you're going to stay, crab, we're going to have to get acquainted. I'm Dr. Indigo Hale. Would you like to hear about the star shell? Well, if you don't want to hear, I guess leave. The first mention of the star shell comes from writings in 400-ish in a fable about a fishmonger finding the shell and using its powers to put the stars in the sky and lighten the moon. Alone, this would make it a fable. But we see a couple of fragments of it from Galileo, and a lot of stuff that makes a great story, but nothing that really is credible as an actual scientific thing. Then we have the Kaufman family video, which leads us to believe it's real. Jane and Carlo Kaufman were two of the most extravagant people in Western Tennessee in 1916. So extravagant that they had one of the first home movie setups. They had two young children, Mildred, who went by Millie, and Prudence. Jane loved to take videos of her daughters, so there's a video of them outside, and it's grainy as can be. But the girls are clearly playing with a shell, and the stars are flickering out, and the children are getting increasingly agitated, and then Jane drops the camera and goes to throw the shell into the river. Now, everyone is shocked this video survives. Jane had to pay someone to process her home movies because her and Carlo were terrible with the tech. Millie and Prudence have gone on to talk about that in later interviews, saying their mom was so afraid that the stars were going out and didn't know what to do. And there is a record of the stars' patterns changing on June 15th, 1916. Astronomers have photos of the stars flickering out. A lot of astronomers are afraid of finding this show. There is a lot that happened, and Prudence eventually said the video was fake, but she's the only one in her family who came forward to say that. It's likely she only came forward because there had been several threats made against her, unless she called the video a fake. So we're not exactly sure how or why it causes the stars to flicker, and according to records from Millie, the other daughter, they felt the energy when they held it. In 1979, Dr. Wilhelmina Kunis created the star energy reading method. Yeah, you like Dr. Kunis, huh, Crab? She's pretty cool. She did some major work with AIDS lobbying. She's my hero. The SER helped us find star energy based on some of Millie's testimonies, as well as a few other things. Everyone called Dr. Kunis a quack, and then, once again, she kind of abandoned her research to do a lot of really great work with AIDS in the early 80s. But she left her research to my college, and I've always been fascinated with it. So I did my entire dissertation on the star energy readings in the star shell. The star energy readings suggest it's on this island, but I haven't really exacted it enough to figure out where. But I just... all my research is on this one little shell. Isn't that funny, Crab? I mean, I said this last time, but I don't have much of an online presence, nor do I have a lot of friends offline. Everyone I've ever met is simply nice enough, but there's a strange feeling I had growing up. This feeling of distance between myself and my peers. I don't know if it's being the only openly non-binary person in my high school, or being an angsty child who liked to write poetry somewhere along the way, very young. I got it in my head that I didn't belong and everyone knew I didn't belong. Again, that imposter syndrome I had talked about yesterday. This is getting a little too sentimental for my taste, so I'm going to put my research back on the boat and I'll go explore. I'll see you later, okay, Crab? She's a funny thing. So, I'm not going to record on the boat, so I'll be going off in a sec. I'm grabbing some shell fragments off the shore while I'm still here, but really quickly. A bit of a breadcrumb trail to lead me back to the boat. I have also decided to pocket the picture of Opal, Pim, and I. It's a sweet picture, and should the absolute loneliness of isolation set in, it'd be nice to have this photo of them. To be clear, I am of sound mind. I mean, aside from generalized anxiety and the ever-present imposter syndrome, I don't know if this is a common feeling among LGBTQ+ young people, but my whole life, especially through my childhood, I felt like I was going through the motions of normal human. But unbeknownst to me, I was an alien of sorts. Somehow, I was going to blow my cover, so I had eradicated everything from my mind that wasn't my cover story. Of course, as an adult, I know that's awfully silly. And of course, this adventure around the island was meant to get away from the sentimental storylines. So let's focus on this island. As I've spent a substantial time at the beach, I don't feel comfortable just sitting there anymore. I'm not going to do any deep exploring today. The island is really small, but I'm going to attempt to draw a map. I grabbed one of my scrap pages out of my notes box, and I'm using that and a mechanical pencil to draw what I see. Mostly general landmasses. I'm not an artist or a topographer. Right, So, walking, and I've hit the part of the island that is no longer beach. There's the beach, and then there are short cliffs that are about 10 feet high. Theoretically, I could climb them, but I hate the thought of my skirt riding up to flash the crabs, so I'm going to be cautious. About 10 yards down, there's a little hill, and I think I'm going to just walk up that. At the base of my hill, I've set up my camp, because it's not fully sand over there. So far, I've only seen this one tree, but I'm sure there are more. I haven't gone past the hill. So now I'm climbing the hill. It's not particularly grassy, but the dirt is dirt here, more silt than sand. It's a rich brown color. I'm curious why there's not much flora here. I'm also curious if I'll see any wildlife aside from cranes and crabs. Oh, also, fish update. I saw a fish in the ocean last night. After my nightmare, it stressed me out so much I decided to go to the water to, like, cool off. Which was a mistake, because it was cold. But a fish in all its awful scaliness rubbed against me, which was terrifying. I wasn't expecting it, and I was groggy and left my glasses on the shore, so I couldn't see it. And I was expecting to die. Oh, there are more trees on this side of the hill. The trees here are not coconut trees. They might have nuts up there, but I can't really tell. Maybe dates. Granted, I don't know if dates grow on trees. I feel like Pim has googled it before, but I don't remember. There's a river! Or a brook? A body of water of some type that's very thin, about 10 feet across, is in the middle of the island. It's beautiful, and there are some tiny minnows in it. And I hear a frog. Or toad. I suppose it's in order to really catalog this island, I should probably know more about nature. I unfortunately don't know much about the earth. I spend more times with my head in the clouds. I mean, I understand the concepts like a brook is a small body of water and a river is bigger and the ocean is the biggest, but what's the difference between a brook and a stream? If you ever find this, please write the Museum of Mysteries with the answer. Let's see if the river is one of the freshwater. Let's see. It is freshwater. There are minnows in it, though, so I'm still going to try and figure out the water bottle contraption. For now, I'm going to fill my canteen and put some water on my face. It's hot. As I'm walking through, I can immediately tell in the distance there's some kind of large hill or small mountain. Surely there's something in between. There's also a valley, and that is in front of the hill, and there might be a cave. It's definitely a mountain. There's no snow, it's almost entirely rock and red dust. But there's a little black spot, like a cave, about halfway up. I'm curious to explore the cave, but I'm going to resist today. Instead, I'll try and get to the top of the mountain before the heat of the day really sets in. Due to my lack of sunscreen, I'm wearing a thin but long-sleeved sweater and a really long skirt. My skin burns incredibly easily, so I'm going to take precautions I can. Pim is an RN. She'd absolutely be furious I forgot sunscreen. But such is life. And all that, I just do not have sunscreen, and because of that, I'm going to have to get a little uncomfortably sweaty to avoid skin damage. Oh god, this is a lot more climbing than I'm used to. Have no fear, Indigo. You are no longer at sea. What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? What do you do with a drunken sailor? Early in the morning. The good news is I have made it to the top of the mountain. The bad news is I am sweating. I've decided this counts as a mountain, even if it's not technically high enough. It took me 3 hours to climb, which, admittedly, is nothing compared to several weeks people have on Everest, but a lot of those people die. This mountain is not particularly dangerous, and I did check. Yes, there was a cave. I'm fascinated by it, so I will be checking it out tomorrow. I climbed up here to get a better view of the whole island. I wanted to try and see everything. There's a surprising lack of wildlife. Again, crabs, minnows, cranes. I've seen a few other birds, but no mammals. Other than me, of course. I'm rather winded from this whole expedition, so I'm going to rest again. I'm sure it's only going to get hotter. I brought the water bottle to try and fiddle with it. So let's see. It's one of those filtered water bottles, and I'm opening it now. The instructions say, remove the lid. So let's do that. Then, number two says, put the filter inside the designated filter slot. I just drop it in? Okay. Step three. Add water. That's it. It looks so complicated on the box. So I'm going to add the water now? And if it looks like the filter is working? The water is slightly less discolored, although it wasn't terribly to begin with. So let's give that a minute and we'll taste it. I've made the decision that I'm not going to let myself die here. I was walking up the mountain and I felt more physically weak than I have at all yet. I mean, even when I was throwing up from seasickness, my body was relatively unshaken. But I thought my legs would give out up on the mountain, and so I've decided I will not allow my mind to ponder thoughts of death. Because if I do, it's all I'll think about. And I should focus on finding the shell. Finding the star shell, get home, and thank Pim for the weird water bottle. Ah, refreshing. I am now glad I brought this water bottle. I'm sure if she could see me, Pim would be glad too. She told me this was the fanciest of the weird water bottle kits, which might be why I'm so stressed about it. On the other side of the island, there's more beach. I see a few different types of trees, so it looks like if I'm comfortable eating fish as my protein, I should be relatively fine for food. I see fruits on the trees. There's not much else of note, just me and this lonely little island. I hope tonight I don't dream of anything. If I bring the photo with me, maybe the energy of them will keep me safe? Maybe not. This has worked wonders on me. One cannot be sentimental when they are exhausted. So let's go down and catch a couple of minnows. I'm probably going to burn them, just so I can assure myself I'm not eating raw fish. Let's take one more sip of this lovely water. And another 3-hour trudge. Here we go!
Thank you for coming along. We will be releasing the next excerpt on August 26th. If you would like to continue to support Deep Blue Stars, please go to LavenderLemonadeCollective.com or donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/LavenderLem. This exhibit was put together by Mick Coates. Please make sure to visit our feature exhibit, Dress to Murder, Surprising Corvid Fashions.